Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. And this video is part of our men's group series, our men's breakfast that we run here in our local church. I love them when they come up each month. We get to have some great round the table discussion, building up each other's faith with testimony and what the Lord is doing in his life, our lives, his incredible love for us. We get to share the word of God and also get some food and some great grub along the way. So that's coming up this Saturday. Really looking forward to it. And we're actually going to be talking this time about faith. The whole point of our men's break is to be building men of faith, that secure and firm foundation of the church, which is, of course, then laid on the rock, which is Christ. So we're going to be talking about faith. I'm going to ask some questions. What is faith? How important is faith? How do we know if we have enough faith? And these are the questions that we'll be asking, which we'll be discussing. I want to go through some of those with you today also. And perhaps just explain a little bit more to help you understand what is faith? How does it actually, how do we apply it in our lives? How do we know if we're on the right track with things with God? So if you have your Bibles for me, I hope you do. Please open up to Hebrews chapter 11. If we're talking about faith, we can't go past something, at least something from Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great chapter, the hall of faith, men and women of faith throughout time here recorded in Scripture, where their testimony was that of faithfulness and trust and hope and belief in God. And so we're going to begin with verse 1. I don't have time. I sadly don't. We will do it another time to go through it in detail. But verse 1 answers the question, what is faith? Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. This substance, this confident expectation of what faith is, we move beyond just a, you know, wishful thinking or a blind optimism, so to speak. Faith is a genuine thing, and you know it as you know it as you know it. It is a genuine thing, and it is based. It comes from evidence of things which are not seen, because why would we have faith in those things that we can see? That doesn't make sense. Romans 8 even talks to that, saying, for we are saved by this hope, but hope that is seen, it's not hope. Why would one have hope in that which is seen? Faith comes. Faith is produced from things that are not seen. So if I want to explore that, and I do just a moment more to try and explain it, there are, I guess, two different types of faith. There's certainly more, but for this illustration, two types of faith. There's what I would call everyday faith. We believe in God. I'm assuming you watching this now that yes, you believe in God, you've given your life to serving, to following, and wanting to learn more, become more like Jesus. So we have faith in God. That's our core belief. Good. But faith does need to be applied. And if it's not, it becomes what I would call faith denied. So in this natural life that we have, this the flesh that we live in, understanding all of the things from Scripture, yes, we live here, but it is not our home. We are now born again to an eternal kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm talking about what we do, though, on a daily basis. Something happens in life. Picture this. Something happens in life. I'll call that the event or the catalyst. Often, if it's a bad thing, often our natural reaction is not to turn to faith. Our natural physical reaction is to turn to maybe fear or worry or anxiety. These are natural things. And if I can give some examples, perhaps, for a man, one of our core things is that desire, that drive to want to be able to serve, to provide for our family. Yes? Yes, absolutely. A loss of a job is a catalyst. It is an event, a thing that takes place, which straight away can cause great fear. How am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do about the car, the house? How are we going to buy food? I've got a birthday coming up. I don't know what to do. Straight away, that's our natural flesh turns to fear. And I understand that. I've been in that position. I know what it's like. Maybe loss of health. There's a big one. Loss of health, oh boy, that can produce worry, anxiety, you know, the big C or a heart attack. Mild or not, it's still a trigger. It's still that thing that happens and we find ourselves catching our breath with a moment of pause. Loss of a child creates doubt in our faith. But why? Why, God? Why? Other situations, not so drastic, dual parenting. Look at the worry that can come out of that situation. One says this, one says that, and constant conflict. That tests our faith. World events. We look around at what's happening in the world now as I record this. Where are we? May 2024. Oh boy, I think it's going to get interesting. And sadly, some of the speak, even from Christians, let me just throw this in quickly for a moment. Some of the speak from Christians brings fear instead of faith. But these are all things that we can see. These are things that we see in this physical world. And so we must make a choice. Not to hope in them, not to look at them, but instead to look up. And in doing so, we then continue and choose faith in the word and the promises and the character and the nature of God in his love for us as our provider, as our Lord, as our Savior. That he knows so much more, that his ways are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways. We must have faith in that even when we don't understand. And that is faith and hope in what we cannot see because it has not yet come to pass in this world. Does that make sense? And so yes, sometimes faith is a choice because something will happen. Our brain looks at it and goes, I don't know what to do. So we must choose faith. We must choose to trust in the promises of God. I remember in Luke 17, I think it was, just at the very beginning, it was a continuation from 16. Remember what Jesus was saying to the disciples, you know, if someone does the wrong thing by you, forgive them. You know, they do it again, forgive them. They do it again. 70 times 7 in another section of Scripture. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. A valuable lesson there. What was the disciples' immediate response recorded in Scripture in Luke 17? It was, oh Lord, increase our faith. Because the natural man wants to bring revenge and vengeance upon those who have done the wrong thing by us. But faith in God says, you are the judge. You will judge righteously according to your will at whatever time, in this life or the next. You will judge. Increase my faith that I might always remember that. And so we have these examples of things that are seen versus our hope in Christ, our faith in the Word of God and the promises which are not yet seen. Those answers have not yet come. And that's the difference in faith, our hope in our Heavenly Father. And our hope being driven, if I can say that, motivated by his promises, not what we see in the world and not what people say about what's going on in the world. It's a confidence unshakable, grounded in the word of God and in the promises of God and in his character. Now, I remember when I've told this to some people here when we live. When we moved to our local area, Newtown, my wife and I actually got married out here many years ago, and it's hours from where we used to live. We would come out here on sort of, you know, weekend getaways, and I think God was working in our hearts to just help us fall in love with this place because it's so different to where we used to live, and we were here. It's going back a few years now, but we decided to just drop into this church. Hey, babe, do you think we should just drop into that church? We keep pointing out we should drop into that church sometime. And she said, well, sure, we're here for the Sunday. Let's do that. So we did. And we just dropped in. Look, it felt good. The music was great. Great worship. Good message. And we're talking to a couple of people afterwards. I always like to talk to those who are in leadership, find out that sort of core upper value for who's running the place, who's managing it. And one of the pastors spoke to us. When I said to him, I said, look, you know, I think maybe, you know, in 5 or 10 years, perhaps we might move out here. I don't know, maybe wait till I retire, something like that. And he looked me dead set in the eye. And I know now, but I was puzzled at the time, that the Holy Spirit spoke directly through him at and to me and said, no, we'll see you in 6 months. And I went, no, thank you. Well, you'll see me in 5 or 10 years. But we went back to our motel where we were staying, and my wife said to me, what was that? I said, I don't know. I think we need to pray about that. It stuck deep inside. And so we did. We spent the afternoon praying, came back together for our afternoon tea, coffee, and she said, so what are you thinking? I said, I have no idea how or why, but we're moving here in 6 months' time. Now, I had a very comfortable life where I lived, in the business community, in the church that we were attending, a very comfortable life, easy repayments on our house, the whole thing. Business was good, life was good, health was great, hoorah. And God just uprooted us and moved us out here. And the process of that happening, well, in faith, we started looking for somewhere to live out here. We knew that we were being called to this particular church. We started attending every month. We would come for the drive, and we would attend every single month. Drive out, go to church, drive back. That was a full day just to be able to do that. And we started looking for property, made a few offers on different places. This one fell over, that one fell over. And, oh, hang on, we got that one. Okay, well, thank you, Lord. So now, of course, we had to sell our place. And all right, so that's a new hoo-ah. And well, it's actually a bit more than that. We need to sell our place, or we can't afford to buy another place. It's just not going to happen. So, Lord, we pray your blessing on this. We are believing. We have faith in this from you. And so it all went well. And it was about, I don't know, 4.5, nearly 5 months, not quite, after that sort of first weekend where we received that word. And it came to the day of settlement. We had everything packed. We had a van. We had a full moving truck. We had the horse and cart, basically. Couple of kids, a dog, two cats, some guinea pig and some fish, and they're all packed in, and we're here around the corner waiting for it. And we get a call from the lawyer, says, sorry to say this, but it's fallen over. It didn't go through. You need to go home. And we're like, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's hours drive. But we need to go home. Lord, seriously, what's going on? But in faith, we switched from the fear to the faith and said, Father, your will be done. So we went back, and we still had our place. And so basically, in 3 days, after talking to various people, I said, well, look, we need to find another place. We need to do something. And so I actually brought our furniture back out here to where we're now living, this place where we've been moved to, and put it into storage. And it was there for 6 more weeks. We camped on the floor in our house back on the coast. And in that time, we were told that you need to get another offer on the place we're wanting to sell. Remember, I said without it, we couldn't buy anything else out here. We couldn't buy a second place, by no means. And it worked out simply like this. It came down to the week where we spoke to our real estate agent after we'd had offer after offer, fell over. And we said then we need to do another open house, and we need an offer by Monday. Otherwise, we're going to lose this place. And well, Lord, I guess we're not moving. I'm bringing my furniture back home. But Father God, we trust in you. And he did the open house on the Saturday, called us on the Sunday morning, said, I come over in this afternoon. Yes, so after church, we caught up with him. And he said, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get any offers on your house. But I do have 2 signed contracts. Which one would you like? Wow. And both for more than we'd previously been offered. And when we moved out here, it was literally 6 months to the week. A couple of days aside, because of course dates, weekends and so on. Faith. We trusted in what we could not see. We trusted in God and we believed for that which it certainly wasn't visible. It kept getting put away. The enemy did everything he could to stop us from coming out here. But here we are now serving faithfully in this particular church. So what we need to do, how did my wife and I get to that point of faith? And I can tell you now, it was probably the biggest my faith had ever been tested to stay faithful in God and to the promise which we had received. You cultivate and you build faith through prayer. You build it through study of the scripture and the word. And you look for opportunities to apply. Hey, God will give you the opportunities, believe me. And when you drop into those moments of fear, I challenge you. You have to challenge yourself. Challenge the doubts of the past. Challenge the voices in the head that speak against the promises of God. Because that's faith. So let me ask the question now. How important is faith? How important is it? Let me just read Hebrews again. We're still in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Well, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let me just say that again. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I also have a note here just to quickly have a look at, and I can't do this one by memory, Psalm 78 from verse 39, couple of verses. For he, that is God, remembered that they were but flesh. They is referring to the children of Israel and to that time in their wilderness. They are a breath that passes away and does not come again. This is us. How often he remembers of them that they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yet again and again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let me just read this again for you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet again, they limited God. I mean, the children of Israel, they had come under the leadership of Moses out of Egypt. They had seen incredible miracles. And then they spent some time at the mountain where Moses received the law and to help them learn then to learn how to become and be separate from those who were around them. You know, scripture tells us that from the mountain to the border of the promised land, it's an 11-day walk. 11-day walk, it's I don't know, depending on the route you go, maybe 300, 320, 340 kilometers perhaps. 11 days. But they got there and they sent the spies into the land. All but two came back going, oh no, we can't do this, because they were looking at that which was seen. And they listened to the whispers of the crowd. And so God went, you're going to spend your life now, this whole generation, in the wilderness. Let's go back for another 40 years. And they complained and they groaned and they whinged and they were faithless. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Other versions say they vexed him, they provoked him, they pained him. They tried his patience. Folks, we don't want to be like that. And why? Well, they did it without faith. We don't want to be like that. So, in the modern context, faith. How important is faith? It is everything. It shapes our perception of our worldview. It is the lens through which we see. Without these glasses on my head, I would not be able to see the camera that I'm looking at right now. I just wouldn't. It would be a blur. I've got a pin board behind it with some notes for work, and I would not be able to read them at all. I need the vision that these lenses give me to be able to see. We need the vision that faith gives us in order to see. And the only way that we can do that is when opportunities come, when the catalyst, an event comes, that we must then choose faith. So my wife and I, we moved here. We unpacked. We did the whole thing. And then I had to go and get a job. Now, I work from home. I have worked from home now for a couple of decades in my business. I am blessed that I can actually do that. But the place that we moved to had no mobile reception, no internet, and no home phone of any kind. So I had to go and rent some space and office in town. That meant that my wife and the kids were at home on their own. Okay, no problem. They've got a car. Off we go. Then, a couple of weeks in, the car broke down. And because we're now in a rural residential or rural area, not near any town, and no major towns, the part required to fix the car was going to be another month. It ended up being nearly 6 weeks. So I'm on my motorbike going into town in the office. I've got my wife and the kids at home, no phone, no internet, no way to communicate whatsoever. Should something go wrong, what does that bring to the natural man? Fear. And it was only a couple of days into this, these 6 weeks, that as I'm praying on my way back home one time, and the Holy Spirit just says, Paul, you need to be praying for your wife and children, because fear began to creep in. It's the natural reaction. And so I did every day, every day, every day. And I made sure I would even come home for lunch so that I could get that extra time. And we conquered that fear with faith. We conquered it with what we, you know, our faith in God. One, that he would protect us. Two, that he would provide for us when we could not. Faith. And so now we still do what we did then. I'm asking you to do the same thing. You must prioritize. You must prioritize your disciplines, your spiritual disciplines, prayer, reading the word, meditating on scripture to build your faith. You must prioritize these things. Step out in obedience to God when things seem daunting, when things seem overwhelming. Step out in faith. I know that's Christianese talk. It just means moving forward, believing in God. But then we have this question that comes up. How do we know if we have enough faith? How do we know? I need you to understand this. Faith is not quantified, the measure of faith. It's not quantified, measured by things like success. It's not measured by feelings. It's not measured by anything in this natural world. But it is measured by our persistent resilience and our trusting and reliance on God. Especially in trials, when they come, not if, when they come. There's a branch of Christianity out there that preaches, if you just have faith, nothing will ever go wrong. Rubbish! You cannot build your faith and show it God unless things go wrong. God allows these things that we might come forward in faith. And I can show you time and time and time again reference of such in Scripture, should we sit down and needs be. I want to have a look. Let me just quickly come back to John, just to illustrate this point a little bit more. Let's show one of them. John chapter 11. Here we go. John chapter 11. We're going to go from verse 17 through 22. I'll just read these, then we'll bring the context. So Lazarus has died, friend of, you know, brother of Martha and Mary, and he has died. Jesus came, it says, verse 17, he found that he had been in the tomb for 4 days. Take note of that number, 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem. It's only, you know, like a few hours, about 2 miles away. So it's a short walk. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, she stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give. And he says, your brother will rise again. She said, I know he will rise. Yes, in the resurrection, in the last day. Now, this is an interesting point of Scripture. He'd been there 4 days. If we go back into verse 10, the very end, we see where Jesus and the disciples were when the news came to him. They were, you know, just slightly beyond the Jordan, and, you know, where John was baptizing there at first. And it's probably about, I don't know, 35, again, maybe 40 kilometers, depending on which way you go. It's a two-day walk. And so they received this news, beginning of chapter 11, that Lazarus was sick. And it says in verse 6 that Jesus, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. It's a 2-day walk. He stayed 2 more days. And when he finally went there, Lazarus had been dead for 4. So it's a couple of days' walk. It's a few. If he'd left straight away, probably could have made it. Yeah. If he'd left straight away, probably could have made it and stopped Lazarus from dying. That's what they could see. Lord, if you had just left, if you had just come. Here's my problem, Lord. If you had just met me where it was, it wouldn't have happened. This is what they're saying. But there's a very curious verse. I love this. Chapter 11, verse 15, Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes, talking to the disciples, that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. God allowed that to happen, that his glory might be shown even more magnificently than what those who could see the illness could believe. Even more. Far above. Greater. Even more. If I can give an example of, and we're wrapping up for time, I need to make this quick. I want a picture, if you would. This is, I want to give you this picture, not from where I was, but from where the person that I was speaking was. So an elderly gentleman on a train between Wollongong and Sydney. I was on that train also, but he's on the train. He's there with his wife. They're going to hospital. He's been in a church and a member of a church, faithfully serving Christ for over 50 years. An elder, service faithful, but he's taking his wife to hospital for some tests, and they've already had some. They know that, well, she has cancer. They just don't know how bad it is yet. He can see this in her. And then a younger man, by only a little bit, I've still got the gray hair, sits down next to him, pulls out a Bible and says, hey, let's talk about these scriptures. Because interesting, he's reading through a Bible himself. The younger man notices that, sits down next to him, grabs his own Bible, that was me, and says, let's talk about these scriptures. He shared with me his story. And he said, in that moment, he said, these last months have been hard. He said, for the first time in my life, I'm questioning my faith in God, because he's praying for healing and it's not coming. Jesus isn't turning up on his timetable. And what was really beautiful about that encounter was just 2 weeks earlier, I had done a deep dive study on continuing in the faith, printed out my notes and had them in my Bible. Guess what we read through in that 2-hour train trip? Yes, we read through them, we discussed them, And I'll include them on the tables at the men's brekkie as well. Continuing in the faith. You know, there are only two things that are required of us for salvation's sake. Number one is faith in God, believing who Jesus, who God is and whom his son was, and that he died on the cross for us, for our sins, taking our place that we might repent, turn back to him, and receive forgiveness for our sins. That's step one. Step two is that we continue in that faith. That's it. That's literally it, because it's by grace we are saved through faith. Not of works, lest we should boast. I don't care how much work you do in service afterwards. That's not what saves you. You are saved through faith. And we must continue in that faith. So I want us to reflect, if we can. When you get a moment to pray about what we've spoken about today, reflect on not just your faith, but the faith of others. And in particular, I'm going to ask that you step out and look at the perseverance of, persecuted Christians around the world. Just yesterday, I was reading in, and you can look them up, you know, online or through, I'm guessing, either socials, Voice of the Martyrs. In Myanmar at the moment, there was a village of 500 that had been just completely destroyed. 500 homes, not people, homes. Three different churches, Christian churches. This village, Christian in its whole. And the entire village wiped off the map, destroyed. Destroyed by fire because of their faith in God. And those buildings that were not destroyed by fire were demolished by bulldozers. How dare they believe in the God that we have not told them? The government said, yes, it wasn't rebels, it was the government that did it. Now they're all displaced. What do we do, God? Well, we have faith in you. Reflect on that for a moment. What kind of faith would be required to still be trusting in God and his faithfulness? I want you to examine your heart. I want you to examine your actions. I want you to look for, pray that God would reveal to you places of faith where you waver or where it may be lacking. And then I want you to lean on the Holy Spirit. I want you to lean on the Spirit for strength and for guidance, trusting that he will empower you through the Spirit, through that Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that now dwells in you and build you up to live out your faith boldly, boldly. And so remember this, recapping, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is a real thing. It is found when we have to really use it, not just from our belief in God, but when some event takes place, that catalyst, and we see over here fear, we see worry, we see hopelessness. But faith looks up. Faith looks up and says, but God. I would be fearful, but God. I would feel hopeless, but God. So we must make that daily choice. It is a daily choice. It really is. Some of the stuff that comes our way, oh boy, we must choose faith. You see it in the scripture, choose life. We must choose faith also, which is for us life, to continue in that faith. All right, folks, we're going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for joining with me. You made it all the way through. It is an honor, and I really genuinely thank you so much for that. I pray that your day, your week ahead, just be blessed, and that God reveal himself to you in a permanent and powerful way that you can become a witness for him to others, that light in the world that you are. If you need to lift the basket so it can be seen by men, Christ in you, so be it. That is done through faithfulness, is it not? All right, God bless. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.